part 11, the Agada, the Piyutim at the end, Gamartem Zevach Pesach, says one of the lines in the Piyut, Hisid Noitzitzim Ugos Matzos. Talking about Avram Avinu, that he served the guests, the angels that came to visit, he served the matzos. So it's interesting, the famous Chazal, the Gemara says, that in every detail that Avraham was Toreach for the three guests, the angels that came to visit, he was paid back for in the future in the Klal Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael, they received in the desert from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mida Keneged Mida, what Avraham did for the angel. And not only that, whatever he did himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael himself. For example, he gave El Bakar Ratz Avraham. He went and he himself to bring the animal to serve the meat. And Hashem gave them the slavim, the slav in the desert, Hashem. And he took bread, and Hashem gave them the man. And he was malava the angels out, and Hashem is holech lifnei Hashem. Everything Avraham did for the angel, Hashem did. However, one thing Avraham did with the shaliach. What is that? The water. It says, yukachna mat mayim, yukachna, it should be taken. It was, he didn't take the water himself. He had it brought with the shaliach. And as a result, the water also didn't come directly from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It came from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but not directly. It came through a shaliach, Moshe Rabbeinu. So he makes a very interesting har. He says, okay, no. Big deal, you know. So he didn't do exactly. It's shaliach. He gave him. Not that he didn't give him water. He gave him water. It's just shaliach. It's a little thing. She says this little thing has such unbelievable consequences. He says it's unreal. Why? He says, let's just say, for example, Hashem would have given them the water also. Let's say Avraham would have given them the water. Then Hashem would have given them the water. That would have meant what? If they had the water from Hashem, they wouldn't have needed Moshe Rabbeinu to bring it up. How did Moshe Rabbeinu bring the water? From the rock. Now, if Hashem brought the water, then Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have had to speak to the rock, and then in the end, he ended up hitting the rock, and because of that, you know, he was punished. Now, so let's say Hashem would have brought the water, he wouldn't have hit the rock. Hadn't hit the rock, Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have therefore sinned by hitting. Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have sinned, he would have gone into Israel, because he didn't go into Israel because of the sin. So he would have ended up taking Klal Yisrael and Teretz Yisrael. He would have ended up therefore being the Mashiach. It says, there's a Zohar, it says that he avo Shiloh in Gematria is Moshe. So Moshe he had the potential to be the Mashiach. Had he not sinned, he would have taken Klal Yisrael. And he would have been the Mashiach. Then he would have built the base of Migdash. And it says that if Moshe would have built the base of Migdash, it wouldn't have been destroyed. So it wouldn't have been destroyed, and there, that would for 3,000 years, plethora, etc., would have been Geula. It would have been Geula at that point, finished. Right? So, you see that, Avraham, okay, shaliach water to myself, big deal. See how, what one little thing, a little, you say, what's the big deal? I just can have such unbelievable impact in the future. It would have been, the Geula had Avraham Avinu, would have given the water himself. He says nothing. It's not such thing as a little. They bring the mashal with Tanya brings it down actually. That you see the sun. Okay, the sun doesn't really rise, but the mice are the return. But when you see the sun going up in the horizon, you know, a little bit. So you think, well, how much did it go up? So you look, I don't know, it was a few meters, you know. If you look at it, it goes up a little bit, a few meters, whatever. But really, it's in Shemayim and versus the Aretz and the sun and the moon and the earth, it's billions of, I don't know, millions of miles or whatever. But when we see it, it's a little thing. So what goes down, what goes on down here, we don't realize the implications in Shemayim. You know, like we said, so we a little thing. I did this little mitzvah. It's not here. It was little, but in Shemayim, it just it's at some limit. Okay, brings that the another line in the Piyud Zamu Stomim Velatu Beish BaPesach. So he says the Sodom, the Anshei Sodom, they were of course very bad people. But what's the, he says what the worst thing about Anshei Sodom is that he tzdiku et ma'aseim. It's one thing if your person's bad. Okay, you're right, this person's bad, and he realizes, oh, I shouldn't be doing this, I can't help myself, whatever. But to say that, to think that what you're doing is okay, that's the worst. To do bad and think that I'm fine, there's nothing wrong with this, that's the worst. And that was a stone. They were bad, but they were matzdik. No, this is where you're supposed to be. That's something that we can't handle. He said he brings a maysa, a great maysa. Says that there was he gets a call from a rav in North Tel Aviv, calls from Yaakov, and he says, "There's a guy here in my shchuna over here, Tel Aviv, that it's terrible." He says he keeps this. He has a little like a store, supermarket, whatever. He keeps it open on Shabbos. And, you know, I try to, I speak to the guy, I have to close the store on Shabbos. He keeps it open. So I heard that he knows you. He knows you from the past. So maybe you can be mashpi on the guy. So Ryako was thinking, oh, maybe I know him from Siberia or something, you know. Yeah. Anyway, so he came there. And sure enough, he knew him from years from back in his days in Siberia or whatever. And so talking, he says, he tried to convince him to close the store on Shabbos. So it didn't work. He said, okay, that's right. He said, look, I tried. No, it was no. What can I do? Fine. A little while later, he gets a frantic call from the same rav again, and he says, you gotta help this, it's gone out of proportion. He says, what's wrong? He says, okay, bad enough, you know, he keeps the store open on Shabbos. Now, he sells milk, and he has a sign that this milk is Behechsher Shel HaRav, the rav of the Shchuna. He says, ah, chutzpah! Bad enough, he's selling it, and he says it's in my Hechsher? How we get Hechsher? Such a thing, ridiculous. It's a liar, and he's macho people think, you know, Hechsher is with the rum, and he says, you gotta do something. So, says, Rafa, he quickly goes over there, speaks to the guy, he says, how can you do such a thing? He says, bad enough, okay, you know, Ben Adam Lamachom, you know, you keep your store open on Shabbos, that's one thing. But you could say, but I'm a good person. But now you're not even a good person. I mean, what you doing this poor Rav? What right you have to do such a thing? Saying that he gave a heksher and something, you know, that he did it and not. How can you know? So what does the guy say? He goes, what are you talking about? I'm not lying. He says, the Rav, get a heksher and a milk. He says, what are you talking about? He told me he didn't get a heksher. So he says, listen, I'll tell you. He says, what happened? He says, I went to the mikveh. And I looked into it, I said, and they told me that the mikveh is from the heksher of the rav of the place, of the area. He gave the heksher to the mikveh, right? He says, yeah. He says, fine. So every morning I go to the mikveh, and before they change the water, so I take from the old water, and I put it into my milk, you know, to water it down. So, milk's got heksher from the rav. So he says, that's the worst. You know, to do something like that, yeah, using the gross dirty water, watering down the milk, and saying, the rav gave a heksher. Why? What's wrong? Okay. So this brings here that we see the example with Lot, another, in the Piyut Chulatz, Lot Mehem U'matzos Afa B'Keitz Pesach, that Lot served the angels, and they went to Lot, and he took them in and served them. So you see from here, he says how a person, so understand a person. The person can be so, you know, I think Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says I have a darkness and light, birbuvia. Like you can have a person do totally, just like a total stira within. What happens? You have Lot. What does it say about Lot? It says in the pasuk, "V'yisa Lot mikedem." Because I'll say, "He see atzmo mikadmono shel olam." Efshi lo la'avram b'lo be'eloka. He was mashi kofir. Right here, we have Lot. He's kofir. He doesn't believe in God anymore, and Avram and God or whatever. And what? And yet what? We see he's being moser nefesh for the orchim. He makes the matzahs and Avram's like you know Avram would do. Which Moser Nefesh took in these people and not allowed to take guests and stuff. He took them in and he wouldn't. So he says, unbelievable. You know, here's a guy, on the one hand, a kofar, on the other hand, Moser Nefesh. What is it? The person. It's another famous example we find with Korach. Right? Korach argued with Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, and his Nevuah, Moshe's Nevuah. He went there for with cholak on the Torah. That Torah was from Torah is not mina shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu is making it up, etc., etc., etc. So he said, okay, like these him and his people are like the wicked of the wicked, right? And yet, what do Chazal tell us? That On Ben Pelet was one of the people involved. But then his wife said, try to convince him. Ah, what do you have out of it? Why are you falling? So he says, what I already promised. So she said, I'll take care of it. You stay in the tent. And she uncovered her hair. And when they came by to get to On Ben Pelet to join, he said, oh, women's hair uncovered. Oh, they walked. What's going on? Here they're cholek on the Torah, cholek on the Vua, cholek on Moshe Rabbeinu, cholek on everything, the Torah, Min Shemaim, everything, cholek, cholek, cholek. And then, the woman, her hair is not covered. Oh, we can't go by. Oh, what's going on? He said, kama stirot, he said, mitrototot benefesh adam. Stirot. Okay, it says that now we're on the pute now. Kilona, kiloya. So you say anav bimlucha. He speaks about anivus, humility. So he says that the people ask the kasha. He says, who is the most humble person? Moshe Rabbeinu. There's nobody humbler than Moshe Rabbeinu. Anav mikolada. It says, right. He says, how could that be? People ask, how could Moshe Rabbeinu be the most humblest person? Right, I mean Moshe Rabbeinu, who spoke to God, panim el panim. He's always muhan, for nevuah. He went to Shemayim, came down, karan or panav, and then, oh, I'm a nobody. How can he be an anav? Moshe Rabbeinu and lefek. It didn't say he had a little bit of humility. He was anav mikol anav. How is that possible? So he says, yes, based on something we said in earlier shir, and he applies it to here, the same concept to over here as well. Very nice. It says that we asked that Chazal tell us that Mishi Yesh Lo Meya Rotze Matayim, Mishi Yesh Lo Matayim Rotze Arba Meyot, etc. So we'd asked before, why is it that the guy that has Meya only wants Matayim? Why does he go for the Gusta? Why does he want Arba Meyot? So as we said before, that because he doesn't, that's not in his ballpark yet. It's not in his musagim. Right? Well, 100, you can think about 200. But you don't dream about 400. 400 is like, wow, way too much. Once you have 200, now you're ready, you're bedrigged, and now you can, now 400 is within the ballpark, within reason, within reach. So now you want the 400. But for 100, the 400 is out of your reach. So you don't want that yet. So he says that's with regards to money, but he says the same thing with regards to Torah, mitzvahs, ruchnis as well. Okay, a person, what's within his grasp, so he can be considered, but he doesn't even, what's beyond that, he doesn't know about, he doesn't deal with. Meaning, says that a person to be, how could a person that, Lefek, we people that are much lower than Moshe Rabbeinu, and they're Bali Gaiva, how could that be? Says the answer is because they're a musagim. In other words, somebody who doesn't know what's out there, he thinks that if you know this much, that's a lot. He says, okay, I don't know everything, but I know quite a bit. For him, quite a bit, in other words, is 200. And he says, okay, but I know 100, so I know quite a bit. I don't know 200, but I know 100. He doesn't realize that out there, there's 500,000, 10,000. He doesn't realize that. It's out of his reach. He doesn't even know. Doesn't even consider it. So for him, he thinks, well, I know quite a bit. I'm just a little bit. Okay, I'm not all the way there, but I. And therefore, that's why a person is a Balgaiva. If he would really see the, what's really what's ahead, have a different musagim, he wouldn't be a Balgaiva anymore. I have 100. There's 10 million out there. What do I know? Nothing. A drop in the ocean. Okay. So he said he brings a nice mashal to it. He says there was once a midget. Right, so when he was in his bed, like he was like swimming in his bed, it was a huge bed. He was a little he's a midget. So one day, one night, he screams to his wife and he says, well, I don't believe it. An ace happened. I grew. An ace happened. I grew. And his wife's like, what are you talking about? She says, no, it's true. An ace happened. And he says, what do you mean? He says, Because normally I'm like swimming in my bed, and now my head's at one end of the bed and my feet are at the other end of the bed, and that means I must have grown. I must be. So she goes, oh gosh. So she gets up, she looks at him, she says, you idiot. says, of course your head's at one end of your foot. What happened was, while you were sleeping, you turned around. You're not sleeping the length of the bed. You're sleeping the width of the bed. So of course, the width of the bed, you're in the wrong there, in the other direction. So he said, the idea, the person's a musagim, you know, you're this way, hey, look, I'm great, I'm the whole thing, I'm big. Yeah, you're looking at your perspective, you're big. You look at the proper perspective, you say, yeah, you're small. Same thing. A person, he thinks, well, in his small world, yeah, I'm great, because look where I am. In your small world, if you would, you know, open up your, expand your horizons, you see, so that's the difference. So Moshe Rabbeinu, right, he had big horizons, right? He saw what's out there. He says, oh, look at this, millions and millions, and what do I, what am I? I'm 10,000, but look at the million. So he saw that. He was big enough because he saw what's out there, and he understood what's out there and where he's holding. Whereas other people, the opposite, right? They don't see that. They think that the whole world is 200 and they're already 150. So look, I'm pretty good. I'm almost there. Okay. Saying the piyut der tmima of yomrulo. So it's like about being, what's the idea of being, having tmimas. So he said that the Chazal tell us more in Megillah that Misyahir is a Baal Mumu. It has to be simple, not to be a Baal Gaiva. So it's a Baal Gaiva is considered a Baal Mumu. So he says, what's the how so? How is this the case? He says, very nice. He says in the Varduk, they explain it as follows. It says that a person, let's say, has teeth, right? But most of the time, you don't even realize it because you don't pay attention. You don't, you know you have teeth, but it doesn't, you know, you don't think about your teeth. Why don't you think about your teeth? Nothing to think about. It's there, right? When does a person think about his teeth? When he gets a toothache. When a toothache, oh, the tooth, oh, my tooth, oh, my tooth, constantly thinking about your tooth. It goes back anything, right? Your ears. You have ears? Yeah, I think, oh yeah, I have ears, you can tie, you know, but you don't think about ears. When do you think about ears? You have an earache, then, oh, my ear, right? So he says, what do we see from here? Then if a person, when there's a problem, then he thinks about it, then he knows about himself, thinks about himself when he's got a problem. Other than that, he says, so too, that when it comes to ruchnias. Right, a healthy person, ruchnius wise, is somebody that doesn't think about himself. Right, he's not zeroing in on his own personal thing. He looks at things about Hashem, Torah, other people, help, chesed, whatever. He doesn't concentrate on himself. Right, we see from the thing when a person has a toothache, if something's wrong, the person concentrates on himself. So a person that thinks only about himself, he's a bald guy, whatever. That's a sign that he's sick spiritually. Because a healthy person, just like a healthy person physically, doesn't think about himself, doesn't think about his teeth, his arms, it's there. And so too, a person that's healthy spiritually doesn't think about himself. He's constantly, oh, who am I? Oh, I want this, I want that, this, who am I? And zeroing in on himself, that's a sign that he's ill spiritually. A healthy person doesn't zero in on himself. Also from the same thing, Tmima Yomrulo, that is a great... Great mice. Said that the Rosh Yeshiva of Abraham Yafan, he says the following. There was a mice, there was a bachur, and he was very like thick headed. Okay, he was in anything that needed a brain, he was out to lunch, right? And as a result, even the simple things that needed, you know, simple calculation, something, he couldn't, he was. So everybody had rachmanis on him, you know, poor kid, you know, poor bachur. What's he going to be? What's he going to do in life? How's he going to manage? You know, he can't make simple calculations. You know, okay. So what happened? One day, word got out. This bachur won the lottery. He won the lottery. He became like, very wealthy. It's like one shot. Bought a lottery ticket. So they approached them and they said, you know, wow, like, how did you do that? You know, how did you, what do you think, you know, they were matzliach in the lottery, what? So he said, the truth is, you know, I don't usually buy lottery tickets, you know, I should do that. But the other night I had a dream, and I saw in my dream the number 17, 18, and 370 in my dream. So I woke up. I said, this must be a sign of something, you know, that these are lucky numbers. So I, you know, therefore I feel out the lottery ticket. And So they said, wait a second, but the lottery ticket is just three single digit numbers. Where did, what are you, 17, 18, 71? They said, no, of course. Well, what did I do? Of course it isn't. What I did was I added them together, right? Like 17 and 18 and 370, I add them together as 415. And then I filled out 4, 1, and 5, and I won. So one of the guys by says, what? One second. He said it was 17, 18, 370? He goes, yeah. He says, it's not 415, it's 405. Should have been 405, not 415. He says, oh, see, Baruch Hashem. Luckily, I'm not good at math. So he says, so we see that the person, you know, he said, Dafka think, oh, he's looking no good, he's got a problem. The problem made him successful. Had he had a brain, he wouldn't have won the lottery. Dafka, because of his gira, so he said, like, it was on the category of Tamim. We have to be, just to do what we have to do. Who knows? We knew this, that. We know this, we don't know that. Hashem Baruch Hu was in control, and what seemed to me but something that we, is a negative thing and a positive thing, so it's beyond our reach. Okay. There's nothing on Adir Hu. When the couple of things on Echad Miyodea. Well, first of all, it's you saw it in throughout the whole Haggadah, the Pesach, and the Piyutz are written question and answer. Echad Miyodea, who knows the one? You know, I know. So he says, you know, why? What's this business of asking, you know, a question? Echad miyad, who knows what? Say it. Echad Elokeinu, Shnayim Zeinu Chotabri, Shlosh Rabot, finish. So he said that it's dafka, the whole concept of asking the question is because the question gets a person interested. You know, you ask a question, who knows what? One, what? Who? I'll tell you what. Gets a person interested. And he says that's the whole idea of the Pesach Seder, you know, show dafka we question and answer, manishtana. It's dafka, the whole idea is supposed to be question. Why? Because I mean, if I just give you a speech, so it doesn't make an impression. If I say something or ask something and you answer it, it rouses curiosity and challenge or whatever. So he brings, we see that in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, says Ezeu Chacham. Right? Why it says Alom Emi Kol Adam, you know, or Zeu Gibor, Kol Mishas Yisro. Why not to say what is a? Just say it. Chacham is Alom Emi Nodar. Chacham Alom Emi Kol Adam. Gibor Kol Mishas Yisro. Finish. What do you have to question? Answer. So it's the same idea. Because if you say who's the smart man? So then, oh, smart man, I'll tell you smart man. This guy's smart. He's like, no, I'll tell you. It's not. It's somebody who learns from everybody. He's smart. Oh, wow, I never thought of that. So that it makes it more interesting. It makes it challenging. It's to say this. I mean, it's not the same. Okay. Yeah. There's a cute little maysa. And it's on the Chamishi Chumshi Torah, Shisha Sidra Mishnah. It's also how we know that the Torah Shebechtav, just as it is, you can't know how to follow Yiddishkeit. You know, you need the Torah Shabbat Peh, the Perish of it, because just if you have the plain words in the Chumash, you don't know how to mitzvah, you don't understand anything, you need the Torah Shabbat Peh to explain the Torah Shabbat Peh. So just to bring out this point, he says that he once went to a visit to this guy here, and he was an Oleh Hadash from America, and he settled in Petach Tikva, and he was a physiotherapist. So he said that when he was in America, he learned by a certain professor. He taught him, you know, the trade. And as it happened, this professor, this guy, you know, that was teaching him physiotherapy, he was a baki in Tanakh, like the Bible. You know, he's a Bible, you know, Bible English, whatever. That was his hobby to read the Tanakh. You know? So when he said, so he told Yaakov, he said, no, when I was decided to make Aliyah, come Aliyah, so you know, I want to part with my professor, don't give him, thank him for, you know, teaching me all these years or whatever. And so I told him, you know, I decided I'm moving. Yeah, where are you going to? I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, you know. He says, oh wow, that's great. And he says to me something strange. He says, you know, you're going to Eretz Yisrael, you know, wow, that's wonderful. Well, I said, because you're going to, parnasa wise, you're going to be set, you're going to, you know, no, you no problem, you know, parnasa wise, you can do great over there, you can make a killing, I'm sure. And that, so he said, so I asked him, well, why are you so sure I'm going to do so well in my parnasa wise? He says, what do you mean? You're going to Eretz Yisrael, most people there are Jewish, right? Yeah. So he says, well, it says here in the Bible that the Jewish people are a stiff-necked people. And you're a physiotherapist, so it's just, you're going to make a killing. Okay.
It was a perfect son.
It says, you mentioned Arba Imaos, Shlosh Avos. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu promised Avram, he said, V'agadla Shemecha. Okay, that he's going to make his name great. So, generally great, but there's it's also literal, that Lashon Gadol, he's going to make his name bigger. As he did, and he was changed from Avram to Avraham. Right? He added a hey. And the Midrash says that Agad Lashemecha are the two letters that were added to both their names. Was added to Avraham and to Sarai. She also got a hey. So he says, L'chur Shver. Why? Because another Midrash says, where did these hays come from? These hays came from Sarai's Yud. Shem took the Yud of Sarai, which is 10, he split it into two fives, two hays, one gave to Sarah, one gave to Avraham. So Bishlama Avraham got an extra five. He says, but Sarai went down. She had 10. Right, she had Yud, and now she only has five. Sarah, she went down. What's that? That's Agad Lashemecha. That's making her name great. Doesn't make her name great, bigger. Make her name smaller. She went from being 10 down to 5. So he says, so what do we see from here? We see from here that if a woman is prepared to go down, so to speak, and lessen herself in order that her husband can become greater, with a sorry that she gave up five so that her husband can have the extra five and he can be great, so that's that also is called making her great also, because lessens herself for her husband so he can become great, so that's the greatness of the woman, because that's her tafkid in this world. That's as the Gemara says, Nashim b'mayzachian b'shalchan is b'neim b'aleim luma. Right? Where's a woman? How is she zoicha to Olam Haba? Because she sends her husband out to learn, her kids out to learn, so supporting her husband, kids. So if she supports her husband, makes his name great, that makes her great as well. That's how she becomes. Okay. So here. Unbelievable story. So Makdim first says that he asked a question I've seen before, and he brings a great answer. That we have the Echad Miyodeh. So the because you're going through it, all the different numbers represent some things that are special about Yiddishkeit. One God, we believe only one God. Shtei luchot abrid, we got luchot abrid. Shlosh avod, we have our three. Arba imot, hamishah chumshei Torah. So, fine, as you go along, one thing doesn't stem. What is that? Tisha yarcheleihen. 9 months of pregnancy. What's so special about Yiddishkeit of 9 months of pregnancy? Everybody 9 months of pregnancy. Mm-hmm. What's so special? So it also bothered me before when he answered it that what about also 7 days of the week, like Shiva Yemei Shabbat, right? So the see that because with the Goyim they're not allowed to have Shabbos. It's Goy Shabbos. We do have a Shabbos, so our week is different than the Goyim's. Okay, also, but Shmoni Yemei Mila, of course Mila. But then when you get to 9, Tisha Yarchei Leida, 9 months of pregnancies. So what? That's special about a Jew, 9 months pregnant? Everybody has. So it brings a great answer from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. So Rav Yaakov said, what the idea of this line is over here, is in order to lehotziat libam of the Christians, of the Immaculate, what's it called, Immaculate Conception, right, with Yashki, right, that he was born with Hilu, like from without a male. Okay, so in order to lafuke that, to show that we don't believe in those things, just not true, so therefore we say, Tisha Yarchele, they believe you don't need 9 months of pregnancy, right? Yashki said, no, we're born without it, don't need it, you know. Said, no, we don't hold by that, we hold that every Tisha, no such thing as you need 9 months pregnancy. And that's why we say that line. It was interesting. I was speaking to Rav Roberg last night, and he showed me an interesting Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, about somebody who says who wants to lend me money, and then it says l'shikri, for like sounds like a certain on a certain date l'shikri, and he brings the Laz word. What does that mean? It means like apur or whatever, which he says somebody told him means April, which means like April, meaning like April Fools, right? So that's called like shikri sheker, called April Fools, right? So we're discussing like what's the significance of what's April Fools? Like what's the significance of April Fools Day? So also he heard that April is 9 months before December, right? Of April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. The end of December is the end of the 9th month, right? So it's like that's the day that Kilu Yashki, if he was born on the end of December, so that means he was conceived in the beginning of April. Right, so I want the Taina that this is my own parish. That why is it called April? Why is it April Fools? Make jokes. It's don't take it seriously. That the Goyim instituted that because they heard people saying, "Oh, so he was born in the end of December. That means he was conceived in the beginning of April." And they didn't chas v'shalom. They go, "Can't hold. No, it's not true. Immaculate Conception." So they made that the beginning of April a joke. It's a joke. It's not true. It's a joke. They play it down, right? Because they don't want it goes against their belief to say he was conceived in the beginning of April, right? So therefore, they turn the beginning of April to April Fools. That's my home shop. I tried looking into it a little bit, like what is this April Fools? It's not clear. Nobody really knows where it came from. Nobody knows if they play pranks on that day. And there's various things. There's no clear thing. So who knows? Maybe what I'm saying has some embeds to it. But he says a great Maaseh I never heard of before. It's unbelievable. Says that it's Reb Moshe Feinstein. Says that Reb Moshe, when he was in Avreich, he was a Rav in a town in Russia called Lyuban. The town in Russia, and the communists were they very strong, and they didn't let people have cash with the rav, whatever. Anyway, not important, all the background, but he said there was a fellow a yid that got into a car accident, and he was Ramesh Lolein. He was crippled. He couldn't. He was confined to a wheelchair, and he lost both his legs or something. And Reb Moshe used to go every Shabbos day to visit him. Right, so he wasn't normally the people were not allowed to have any keshet with the rav, but this guy was not scared. Why? Because the punishment of having keshet with was sending to a work camp of Siberia. But he said, "Nobody's going to send me to work camp. I can't walk. I have no leg." So he wasn't scared. So Reb Moshe used to have keshet with him every Shabbos. He used to speak to this guy, go visit him, whatever on Shabbos. And this guy on Leil Shabbos is he used to chabur of a people of Yidden used to come to his house Leil Shabbos, and he used to say over Divrei Torah. He was a learned man, and he used to say over like Divrei Torah from the Parsha, whatever, every Leil Shabbos. Fine. So one it was Parshas Vayera, and Moshe comes to visit the guy like usual in the daytime, and he has a serious look on his face, and he says to Moshe, "I'm going to die." So Moshe says, what are you talking about? Don't talk like that. You're going to die. He goes, "I know I'm going to die." He says, "Why? Why are you saying that?" He says, "I'll tell you." He says, "Last night, the people came over to my house, and we're telling them Divrei Torah from the Parsha. So, one thing, talking about this, talking about that." So we got onto the topic, Parsha Meir, of Benos Lot. Right, the daughters of Lot, that they were with their father in the mountain. They thought that they were the only people around in the world, so they lived with their father, and they both had a child from the thing. Says, "Yeah." So, in the passing, we're saying, how's L'Shem Shemayim? They thought they were the only ones around, and they had to keep the world going, and they did L'Shem Shemayim thing. So, but I made a comment, and I said that, L'Shem Shemayim, very nice, however, still, he says, how could it be that afterwards, when they left the cave, and they got out into the world, and they saw that it wasn't true, they were not the only ones left. So how could, when, for sure the one, that had the son, she named him Moav, it means Miav, from my father. She named a name, that he says, how could you do such a thing? What a disgrace. How can you call your son, Moav, from my father? When you see that there's other people around, and you made a mistake, and you're going around calling this thing, how can you do such a thing? I made a comment like that. Okay. So he said, what happens? I go to sleep last night. all of a sudden, in my dream, these two women appear to me, dressed in black from head to toe, and they introduced themselves. They said they're the daughters of Lot. And they said, we have a tain against you. You're like, you know, Motzi Shemra, and spoke Lashon Hara, and we're going to take you to a din here in Shemaya because of what you spoke last night. So he said, what do you mean? So they said, you know, you made fun of us. We called the name of a child after from Av. We do such a thing. He said, do you realize why we did that? So they said, no. I said, it doesn't make sense. Why would you do such a thing? He says, no, there was a reason for it. Why? He says, we did this in order to avoid in the future the problem of false messiahs. He says, well, what are you talking about? He says, listen. We were saved from the destruction of Sodom, right? Us and our father. So people looked at us as these really holy people because why would they be saved? Then everybody else was killed. Obviously, we were tzaddikot. So we were looked upon as being righteous, very, very righteous women. Okay? So now, if we, you know, got pregnant and people said, hey, they're not married, right? They wouldn't have said, well, it's from the father. Right, because it couldn't be. These are righteous women who live with their father. Can't be. So people, but they're not married, and it's not from the father. So immaculate conception must be that, you know, they had a child without a father. That's what people would say, and people would say there is such a thing. And then, you know, years later, when Yashki would come onto the scene, they said, yeah, we have a source for it. It looked like Benoklon also. They were immaculate conception. So in order that people shouldn't think of such a thing, shouldn't have this, it's not true. So I named him Moab from my father, and yes, it was a disgrace. I was willing to disgrace myself. So people should say, no, they realize that this is from my father. It's not immaculate conception. This is me and my father. That's and it came from that. So there shouldn't ever be in the world such a thing, concept that there was ever any precedent for such a thing that I can have a child without a father. So we're willing to disgrace ourselves in order that there shouldn't be these false messiahs in the future. We did it l'shem Shemayim, and Hashem rewarded what who came from Moab, Mashiach, and David HaMelech, and right, Ruth, Lot came from Lot, they came from the daughter of Lot, and so Hashem rewarded us with the Mashiach, rewarded me for Mashiach because of this, because I want to avoid false messiahs, and I could disgrace myself in order that people shouldn't get such a wrong concept, and you're talking bad about us, so. Moshe heard, he said, okay, wow, you know. And the story ends that Motzi Shabbos, the guy was Nifter. Sure enough. Taken to Din Torah and Shemayim and Motzi Shabbos. Unbelievable. Okay. Couple minutes left. Brings here the famous vort, but talking about Asara Dibraya and Lo Sachmod. So the famous question, it says in the Seres Yadid Bras, Lo Sachmod Beis Reecha, you shouldn't desire your brother's house, Lo Sachmod Eishes Reecha, his wife, Avdo, his Eved, his Amma, his Shor, his Chamor, V'chol Asher L'Reecha. So the question is asked, after you give the whole list of the house, the wife, the slave, the ox, whatever, so why do you have to say V'chol Asher L'Reecha? And that includes everything. V'chol Asher L'Reecha, just say Lo Sachmod V'chol Asher L'Reecha. You want to give a list and say v'chol, v'chol means everything already. When you have to list all these things. So he brings a famous answer, but he brings with the once there was an avreich that he had 10 kids in two rooms in a house, you know, stuffed or whatever, and he looked across at his neighbor. Yeah, so it's just four kids, and he's adding on, so each kid can have his own room. And said, he says, how can I not to be jealous? You know, how can I not covet? You know, look at him, whatever. So what would we answer? We said, okay, fine. He said, you have 10 kids, he has 4. So now, are you willing to do away with 6 of your kids, so you can have more room? And there's no chas v'shalom. In other words, the point is that he said you're looking. Oh, he has this. Say, fine. If you want what he has, you can't just take one thing. You have to take. It's a package deal. Right? If you want his wife, his problems, his health problems, his this problem, his that, whatever, you want everything, fine. But you can't just say, I just want his apartment. That's not fair. So therefore, it says you want lo sachmod bayis aisha, then whatever. And why? Because you want this, that. No. V'chol asher areyecha. You want something that doesn't work that way. You want fine. You want to change places with him, and then fine. I mean, you'll see. Everybody has pekalach. He has a nice out. He has a problem with someone bias. He has this. He has a problem with chinuch. He has, well, everybody has their pekalach. So you can't just pick the good. You have to say your whole areyecha. Right. You have to take what you want to change. You have to. It's a package deal. V'chol asher areyecha. Okay. One last couple minutes left. Chad Gadya, all at the end now. On the Vatashun Rav Achla. So it was a little maisa with the Rabbi Abraham Zalmans. He was a Rosh Yeshiva of Navardach in Varsha. That he was very poor. He lived off of basically just bread and butter, literally. And one day he came home to eat, and his wife said, "Oh, bad news for you." He said, "What?" He says, "The wife said to him, you know, the cat, we had they didn't have refrigeration. They used to put the butter on the windowsill or whatever. So the cat came, grabbed your butter and ate your butter." So he says, "No, it can't be." He says, "What do you mean it can't be?" "It can be. I'm telling you, the cat came and ate your butter." He says, "No, it's not shy." He said, "He did. I saw it with my own eyes. The cat came, grabbed it, So he says, "No." He says, "You don't understand." Said that the cat didn't eat my butter, the cat ate his butter. Meaning, if he was able to take the butter, it means that Minas Shemayah was not missed on my butter, it was his butter. It must be his butter, not my butter. Okay. Last one. It says, Asa Malachamavis, the end. So he says that the different Perushim, what this whole, you know, Chad Gadya, you know, what's this trying to teach. So he says, I think the main lesson over here is in that line. Vata malachamaves v'shachat l'shochet. The malachamaves kein v'shachat l'shochet. I think that's the most important line of the whole Chad Gadya. He says, what's pshat? He says, imagine, you know, the malachamaves, you know, came to Kodesh Baruch Hu with a complaint. He says, nobody likes me. You know, people name their kids after the other angels, Michael, Gabriel, Uriel, Raphael, all these angels. People name their kids after. Nobody names their kid after me, Mavis. You know, it's not fair. Like, well, what's, you know. So, Kodesh Baruch Hu says to them, listen, okay, what can I do? You know, I'll do you a favor, okay? I can't make them call, you know, their kids after your name. But what I could do is I can have them not mention you at all. Not for the good, but not for the bad. Not mention you. So he said, that's what happened. Meaning, so a person gets sick and he dies, whatever. So what happened? People say, why did he die? So what's the answer? Heart attack. Accident, this, the depression, whatever it might be, that's why he died. So they don't realize that. Not us, the Malacham Avis. Kodesh Baruch was at the Malacham Avis. People, they don't think about the Malacham. They don't think it comes from Hashem. So why? Let's examine. Why did he die? Heart attack. This, that. Well, maybe because Hashem wanted him to die. No, that they don't mention. So Hashem said that Malacham Avis. Don't worry. Nobody's going to mention you anymore. They only think about the natural ways that people die. So the lesson of the Chad Gadya is no. Vasa Malacham Avis. The Shachad L'Shochei. Didn't say he got a heart attack and died. Didn't say Malacham Avis. Realize it comes from Hashem. And he says, I heard once from one of the Gedolei Ador, he says that there was, as Mai said, there was a simple Eglon, a wagon driver from the little town, and his horse died. Okay, it happens, you know, it won't live forever, and his horse died, but that was his, you know, source of Parnassa. So what did he do? He said he went to the shul, and he took the peroches, he put it aside, he banged on the doors of the Aron, on the Aron HaKodesh, and he cried, he said, Ribono Shel Olam, lama asita li etze? He said, Hashem, why did you do this to me? Right? Like, how my horse died. So, he says, that's what you're supposed to do. That's just what your horse dies. He says, like, no, why did he die? Did he eat something no good? Did this happen? Did that happen? Why is it? No, it's from Hashem. So you have a problem, so you go to Hashem. This is what you're supposed to do. He says, today, if your car breaks down, what do? You go to the mechanic. Right? Who says, whoever asks it, oh, you know, Hashem, what did you do? Why did this happen to me? Why did I do? What did I do? What did you do? No, go to the mechanic. What's wrong? Why did it break? What was it? Right? You know, losing perspective. Where's the source, the real source of that? Therefore, the Iker is Asa Malacham Mavis, and Shachat L'Shachit.